Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Knight. How are you today, sir? Hump day!
Woo-hoo! Yes, it is. It's Wednesday. Where I live, it's garbage day. That's how I look at hump day. It's the day that they pick up the trash. We're talking
trash. Tomorrow for me.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, you,
and,
yeah.
And speaking
and I was
of,
told by the neighbors, go stand on the curb. But, yeah, I didn't hey, I get no respect, you know what I mean? Hey.
Speaking of trash, did you hear any of Biden's speech yesterday in Philadelphia? He was speaking in front of the AFL-CIO, and boy, he was on a rant. He sounded like an old man throwing kids off his lawn.
Get off my lawn, sonny!
Exactly.
Did he pull his pants up in the front?
I didn't see him do that, but he may have. He may have. You know, he looks like a character. Who's Jeff Dunham's one of his characters, one of his puppets?
The grumpy old man.
He also looks like him. Remember this? Do you remember on the Muppet Show the two guys who sat in the box
and
they used to make comments? He looks like one of them too. So
you just told on Jeff Dunham where he stole that old man character from.
That's true.
Sesame Street.
That's true.
Jeff, Uh-oh. You owe royalties. Oh God.
Oh my goodness. And they both owe royalties to Joe Biden. So, but anyway,
yeah, the original.
He was screaming at the audience. I don't want. And I tried to find the clip and I couldn't. I heard it everywhere. Maybe you heard it already. But he was screaming, I don't want to hear any more about this and that and this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, Joe, are you trying to bring the audience into the fold? Or are you trying to chase him out of the auditorium, you know? But I got a little piece of Joe speaking yesterday. Yes, thank you very much. And here was what Joe said as he was wrapping up his talk in Philadelphia.
The problem is, Republicans in Congress are doing everything they can to stop my plans to bring down costs on ordinary families. That's why my plan is not finished and why the results aren't finished either. Jobs are back, but prices are still too high. COVID is down, but gas prices are up. Our work isn't done. But here's the deal. America still has a choice to make. A choice between a government by the few for the few, or a government for all of us, democracy for all of us, an economy where all of us have a fair shot and a chance to earn our place in the economy. My plan is simple. First, I'm doing everything in my power to blunt Putin's gas price hike. Just since he invaded Ukraine, it's gone up $1.74 a gallon. Because of nothing else but that. So I have a plan to bring down the cost of gas and food. It's going to take time, but let the world coordinate the largest release, what I've been able to do, the largest release of oil from the global fund in history. A million barrels a day and 240 million barrels to boost global supply while I convince other nations to join us. Keep prices from rising even more. And I'm working closely with our European partners to get 20 million tons of grain locked in Ukraine out onto the market to help bring down food prices.
Do you remember, I don't know what the character was, but he used to mumble. Yeah, there was a character. I forgot where I saw it. Was it Mr. Magoo? Yeah.
He bumbled around and I couldn't see where
he sort of reminds me of, that's it, Mr. Magoo. That's it.
Jim Backus,
yeah.
Mr. Howell on Gilligan's Island.
I think he gets confused by the reverb in the stadium, too. It comes back at him and kind of throws him off. He was talking gibberish at the end there. Did you hear him talking about all the things he was going to do to rectify the problems that we have right now?
Less government for few people. So he's basically saying, well, you know what? He's telling the oil companies, I want more gas, less prices. Okay, you want more goods, less cost. That's what I heard.
Yep.
So does that equate to, well, to compensate for that, more work, less pay, mm-hmm. more government, less rights?
You know,
that's what I'm hearing.
Jumpin' Joe was denying the obvious, that the real problem was the fact that he cut off all of our internal fuel sources. He's cut off, like we talked about yesterday, the oil rigs out in the Gulf.
You said, all the leases, even Alaska. Yeah. Now, we have big oil up in Alaska. It's got to be either trained down, which Buffett, you know, owns the trains. That's why he shut down the pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
But with the pipelines down and our refineries in ill repair and the rigs just sitting out there idle, we are not producing. And he's going to open up the reserves, what's left of them.
Keystone Pipeline, ANWR, all those things shut down by this guy. He's talking about getting oil from his friends. What friends are those? Venezuela?
Well, let me tell you something. You know, everyone talks about war. You know, well, to have war, one of the things, I understand one of the keys would be the invasion of the Ukraine by Russia. Well, it's happened. The other bit of that tier is going to be the takeover of Taiwan, or the invasion of Taiwan by China. That's about to happen. Then you look at the alliances. By the way, Venezuela will go to the Russian side of the board here. But we will have, well, we'll have a decent supply of hardware to go out there, but so will China and Russia with all their allies. We'll have about 10 to 20 million soldiers. They will have low-end 50 million to 80 million troops, and they do have more hardware than us.
Boy, but based upon what you see happening in the Ukraine with Russia and the military, they're not that well-trained.
Well, that is the media. But then again, too, we were told, well, you know, we're gonna cut off everything here, and Putin's gonna fall with no oil. Well, we are the ones with no oil,
right? And they have
the reserves went up. The ruble now is worth more.
Yep.
And Putin is well financed. He is sitting on a mountain of oil they're producing. So.
The thing that worries me about Russia is, even if their troops aren't that great, aren't as well trained as ours, they've still got more nuclear weapons than we do, and they still keep talking about it. They still keep rattling the nuclear rattle. Like, we may use this if you keep supporting the Ukraine and giving them more and more dangerous weapons.
They've already done the studies on it. What would happen if we went thermonuclear? We would lose a lot, but they're going, you know, like an insurance company where they go, okay, what's the acceptable loss? We're going to lose this, but we will win this.
There's no winners. The only winner maybe is the winner who stands by the sideline and watches two countries do it. But even they don't win, because people forget all of the nuclear fallout that would be in our atmosphere and would affect countries that are a long way from the battle. Europe, Africa, they would all get part of the residue from a nuclear war between our countries. You know,
it makes me wonder in the back of my mind, with technology and everything. You know, you talk about the nuclear fallout that will last for years. There's been technology to fix and clean up a lot of things. Yeah, you kind of wonder if they're going, yeah, we can go do a nuclear war because we have a secret. We can fix this after it's done.
I think there's some truth to what you're saying, because we don't get all the info. But I also think that they've developed nuclear bombs that are more contained.
More contained. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have that massive destruction, uncontrolled destruction, where they can take out a city and just about end it at the town limits. You know, they know what they're doing.
You can do like a blast counter blast that confines it to where the affected area is more intense, but it's confined to your target.
A couple of other interesting things, Bill. You probably heard about this too. They had a special election in Texas. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
I don't have her name. I should have her name. I am a bad boy, but I applaud this lady.
You're a bad boy, you?
Well, maybe I can find her name if you want to add a few comments.
A few kind words.
I have her name. How's that for speed? There,
yeah, you cut me off from saying something you probably didn't want me to say.
Republican Mayra Flores wins big in Texas 34th Congressional District special election, defeats challenger by 7% in a seat won by Democrats by 13% in 2020. This is a sign. This is a an area of Texas that's very Hispanic, and they traditionally vote Democratic. Not anymore.
So if you take the 13% deficit we had and the 7% gain, that's a 20% flip.
You know, I think it's funny how, and I think this is a Democratic fault, they seem to really group everybody into categories, and those categories are supposed to follow a certain way like sheep. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think people are too smart, no matter what their nationality was. You know, are they Hispanic? Are they white? Are they black? Are they whatever? People think for themselves. They look around and think, wait a second, we're all paying $5 plus a gallon. We all can't find baby food in the supermarkets, and it's going into other things, Bill.
Tampons, as a matter of fact. There's shortages on the formula, which is causing more women to go to WIC, to the government, as they say, be in the government Tate.
What the government said the reason for that was? Oh, that's because we were using the material for tampons to make face masks. Seriously.
Well, there's face masks. There's been
the official government narrative. You know that's the reason why there's a shortage.
Yeah, and Procter and Gamble, which now here's the joke, Procter and Gamble is trying to keep up with the demand, and they just say they can't keep up with it. They're flying off the shelves. Well, they got wings, I guess.
Yes, I'm sure they are.
But
yes.
Bad joke. Okay.
Try the veal. It's the best in town.
Yeah,
I'm here every Thursday. You see where illegal aliens are set to receive, by the way, congratulations to that young lady in Texas.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Much success. Illegal aliens are set to receive driver's licenses. We talked about this about a month ago. But I guess it's gotten
longer than that. Yeah.
In Massachusetts, the Rhino governor, Charlie Baker, I guess, is going to sign it. I cannot for the life of me figure out how they can justify giving illegal aliens driver's licenses. What does that do other than give them an opportunity to vote?
Well, gives them an opportunity to vote, even though they say they can't, but who's going to check it at the polls? But you know what, people up in Massachusetts, you've been a good driver. You've been with State Farm and whatever else, Prudential or whoever, for years. Well, do they do insurance, car insurance? Or is it Progressive I'm thinking of?
Who?
You've been with your insurance company for years. Yeah, State Farm does.
State Farm does, yeah.
Yeah, but you've been a good driver for years, but now your insurance rates have to go up because we have newly licensed untrained drivers on the road.
That's right, yes. I think they should start doing commercials with a mariachi band. What do you think? I mean, because like a good neighbor.
No, that's the new Welcome to America. Come on in, the boat is
over. We'll take the song from West Side Story. I want to be in America. Everything free in America. Anyway, so they're going to have licenses for illegals in Massachusetts. By the way, the state that I was born in. Oh gosh, I'm embarrassed. I don't know how these people can justify giving illegals. I mean, these are people who are here. If you are being technical, they are criminals because they came here breaking the law. Now they may be nice people. They may have beautiful children, all the things that touch your heart, but they came here through the back door. We don't know who they are.
No, we don't know who they are. They're criminals, but you know, you got to realize they were let in by a criminal.
Yeah, that's
true.
He's
the one that opened the back door and the front door and all the windows in the house.
That's true. And you know, they just keep on coming. And the illegals just keep on coming.
Oh, the DJ and you. It had to come out sooner or later.
Sorry, I had to do that. Bill Barr, he spoke in front of the
Lion.
Be a nice boy.
Bill, I'm not saying it.
Bill Barr spoke in front of the January 6th committee earlier this week, and he lied. I don't care what you say. He lied. And
Liz Cheney, Bill Barr, the list goes on and on. All these people under oath lied. They need to be held accountable.
Oh, I think they will be.
I hope so.
Steve Bannon, who I like.
Yeah.
He does a show called The War Room. It's on Real American News. And he does it every day. He has a great following. It's amazing. It's not a major news network. It's basically on the internet, although they have millions of people who watch it. But he has a following that is just amazing. But he was on yesterday, and he was talking about Bill Barr, and he's just about had Bill Barr up to here, if you know what I mean. Here's what he said.
If Bill Barr had any interest, as he's supposed to be Attorney General, and Mr. Investigation is so serious, and they're taking his word for it, he would have picked the phone up and said, let me have a briefing on your 18-month investigation. Let me have the let's go 8 hours, and let me go through it line by line. Here's the point. We take this very seriously because 13 or 14 generations of this country have sacrificed to hand us the republic we have, and we're not going to be blown off by somebody like Bill Barr. Bill Barr, we're coming for you, bro. You're sitting there lying about this. If you had any decency whatsoever, you'd have reached out to Katherine Ehrenberg before you smeared her. You'd have reached out to Dinesh D'Souza before you smeared him. You'd have reached out to Greg Phillips before you smeared them and the entire team of an 18-month investigation that's still going on, of 8 or 10 hours of interviews that you could do and sit there and find out the details in the second and third order magnitude of what they've already thought through before sitting there and said, this is the type of crap that we're stopping. You're just not going to sit there and phone this in and throw it a couple of lines. We're going to deconstruct this, and we're going to rub your nose in it, and then we're going to come after you legally. We're not just going to sit here anymore. The days of the deplorables and the days of MAGA just sitting there and our betters telling us what it is. Barr, I've forgotten more about this stuff than you know, and Katherine Engelbrecht has forgotten more about it than all of us will know. And that's why she's dedicated 18 months of her life. This is not about Donald J. Trump. This is about a republic. We're either going to play by a set of rules that people agree to and we play to them, or we're not. And we're the rules players. But you're going to play to them too, buddy. You're just not going to come in here with your fat face and just kind of, you know, smirk up there. It's not going to work anymore. We're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to accept it. We're going to go back with facts.
By the way, the ding that you hear is on their side, not my side. But right. He was so right on the money. He was so right on the money. We're not going to take it anymore. We've been playing by the rules. You're going to start playing by the rules too.
Mm-hmm.
I like the
very
line.
Well articulated.
You got to love the line. We're coming for you, bro.
Yeah, I love that. Felt like I was in Hawaii on what was that show with
Hawaii Five-0?
Dog the Bounty Hunter. Hey, bro,
oh yeah, that's
bra.
It.
Yeah. He should have said bra. Hey bra, we're coming for you, bra.
Yeah, and I do think that he's close to the ex-president, former president, President Trump, who I still think is the president, but he's the former president technically right now in public.
You know, I have noticed one thing. You
What's
know,
that?
Trump never. He never conceded. So
of course he does.
Technically,
yeah.
Of course, technically, he's president then. If he didn't concede, he's president.
Well,
and we always refer to him as Mr. President or Donald Trump the president.
Once again,
Joe
that'll
Biden
get us
is not referred to as president.
Once again, that'll get us knocked off YouTube.
We're
it'll
not
get us
on YouTube
fact-checked
right now
by somebody, some little dweeb somewhere.
Hey, you know,
some little
on,
dweeb
Jesus.
Somewhere who doesn't pay attention to the news is going to fact check us and put a statement below it. This is not a proven fact. You know, it has been.
Well, they're not a proven fact. They haven't found the father or the mother yet to that. So you know what. They crawled out from under a rock.
The former president, you notice that he hasn't done any rallies in the last few weeks. He's kind of stepped back, and you got to wonder why President Trump has done that, because usually he doesn't pull any punches and he makes his comments. He issued a 12-page statement, an argument against the January 6th committee a couple of days
good,
ago.
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah, but... he hasn't come out and screamed, but I think he's having guys like Steve Bannon light the fire, if you know what I mean. I think you're going to hear Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon, other people making remarks that'll reflect former President Trump, and it might be leading to something that we don't know about. And I'll just leave it.
Well, we have to stay engaged is what we got to do, because, you know, you've heard me say it. You've reiterated too the fact that hey, this fall we may not even get to this fall.
Yeah,
we're probably going to run out of gas and food, and it's going to be bad. But you still have to be positive, and you still got to stay engaged. But you can't sit there and wait for a miracle to fall from the sky, like maybe a fundraising email that was sent to you. Help us raise the money to throw Pelosi in jail. Let's indict her.
You know,
that's not true. They're raising funds.
I would think that more and more people would be talking about the possibility of a delayed or canceled election in November. You and I seem to be the only two people who are really talking about the possibility of there being some kind of interference between now and then. But I think it's a real possibility.
Yeah, well, I think there are other people that do podcasts that believe that. I mean, I talked to one yesterday, and, you know, her outlook wasn't all that positive for what's going to happen this summer or this fall. But
she's a smart lady. We're still... She's a smart lady. I know you're talking about.
I think she just went to KDK in your town. Yeah, but
well, then we can tell
Rose.
Then we can say who she is.
Yeah, Rose Tennant.
That's right.
She worked for me. She was Tokyo Rose in the original war room, which is still there.
I know.
With a guy Jim that Quinn. Worked for me. Yeah.
Another guy, Jim Quinn.
So,
two good people. Two good people. Although she probably doesn't remember me. She only met me a few times, but always was a fan of Rose, of Quinn and Rose. But anyway, Bill Barr, you heard about what he said and how he lied.
Yeah.
You heard how Steve Bannon reacted. Catherine Engelbrecht, the producer of 2,000 Mules and the founder of True the Vote, a smart lady who, like you heard Steve Bannon say, spent 15 or 17 months of her life working on what the lie was and how they did what they did. Apparently, 2,000 Mules is just a slice of what they have. It's not all of the information, all of the stuff that they uncovered. It's just enough that they can put together to prove a point to make a good film. But they have much, much more. But she was there with Steve Bannon, and she had a few comments. By the way, when you hear the dinging noise, you know, the computer dinging like there's a message, that's not me. That's their side, but here it is.
The American people have had enough. Our elections are not meant to be perpetually broken, yet they are because it is politically useful. And America is waking up to this. We can do better. We are the laughingstock of other industrialized countries around the world who manage their elections with a process that balances security and transparency and convenience and all of those efforts that are put into a serious process. Our process has become a sideshow, and it can't continue on. We are perilously close to losing that which binds us together, that free and fair vote. And you know, I was disappointed to see Bill Barr do it. Not surprised. It's been our experience with law enforcement to this point. And I'll tell you something that we're very excited about getting ready to announce. We are going to be working with sheriff's associations and law enforcement associations at the sheriff and local level across this country to help to preserve the rule of law when it comes to elections. So we're looking forward to that. We're very hopeful that that will be a useful outlet because mercy knows state and federal have proven to be absent.
You would think that somebody would tell them to turn off the notification sound before they go on mic.
You almost wonder if it's deliberate, you know, just like the computer updates that happen all the time and change all the settings in my computer before
I
do this thing.
Well, I had a heck of a time connecting this morning because for some reason the computer decided to be incredibly slow, but those things happen. And we can talk about that some other time, you know. We don't want to be thought of as conspiracy theorists now, do we?
it's a conspiracy theory that I woke up this morning, but that's a different thing altogether.
Bill Barr, you know, it's funny about Bill Barr. When he was attorney general, he really played along as if he were Trump's guy. People looked at him and thought, boy, he's solid.
He's a chameleon.
Yeah, and I think it's because he's a product of the swamp. He has lived his whole adult life down there in D.C. He goes to the parties. He socializes with everybody from all the different sides of the political street, and he enjoys being there. And he doesn't want to lose that.
Do you think the founders of the country, when they created us, envisioned career politicians?
Absolutely not. I'm glad you mentioned that, Bill, because they used to have it designed so these guys would, they come from their states, that it would take them 2 months by horse and carriage or train to get into the Capitol. They would do their work, and then they would gather all their stuff, and they would head back to their state. That's how it was initially.
Unfortunately, the public has been trained just the opposite by these clowns that are in Washington to keep their jobs. They wanted to make it a career. They've made it a career. And, a friend of mine that is a diehard, I was talking to his son yesterday, he goes, I can't convince my dad to sit there that there should be term limits, which is the way it should be. Oh, you can't do that. Well, everything would fall apart then. You are being deceived. If you really believe that, you're being deceived. You've been deceived on many levels. History that we report is pretty much a deception, too. You saw some of that just a year ago.
An obvious thing to most people who pay attention is, how does a representative who goes into office, a really middle-class kind of person with middle-class income and middle-class capital behind him, how do they stay in office for all and leave office being worth $25 or $30 million when the job pays $150,000-$200,000 a year? How do they do that? How do they become wealthy as a political politician who gets a salary? They've done things, for example, they asked Nancy Pelosi about insider trading a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? And she laughed.
Oh, yeah.
She laughed like, well, it's legal for me, essentially, is what she said. It's legal for me, meaning I'm in politics. I'm in the Capitol, and I can do that. You can't. That's insider trading, and you can go to jail. But, I'm a Speaker of the House and a representative, and I can do it.
It's corporate greed. And what they do is a politician sells themselves to the highest bidder. It happens in every factor of life. So why are you naive enough to think that it doesn't happen in politics?
Yes. You're right.
I mean, Tiger Woods has got a $1 billion deal right now.
But it's okay for that? Tiger Woods. He's
PGA
a private
star?
Citizen. Yeah, he's a private citizen, PGA star.
The PGA doesn't like him.
But you said $1 billion deal?
Got a $1 billion deal because you see the Saudis. I believe it's the Saudis somewhere over there. They've come up with a new golfing league called
I heard Live. About that. Yeah.
Yeah, Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
my question, though,
they're doing
do you think, Bill, do you think that there's a point where, how much money do you need to be wealthy? Really? I mean, if he, a $1 billion deal, he'll never spend it, ever spend it. I mean, he's one guy. You can only have so many houses that are so big. You can only have so many cars. My dad used to say, look it, you only drive one car at a time. You only live in one house at a time. So, and he was right.
Did your dad ever play Monopoly?
He did. Yeah,
because there's always one person that knows how to run that board and own everything, and everyone else loses the game broke.
But I just don't know why you need $1 billion. But I'm glad for the guy. If he can get it, great. I see these guys playing football, and I think there was a time when they played football for the team. They played football for the game.
Nah, it's a winner-take-all life. It's a winner-take-all life.
There's a guy in Pittsburgh, young guy, terrific talent, Juju Smith-Schuster. He played for the Steelers, and he really felt like he was part of Pittsburgh until the Chiefs just offered him a lot of money, and he bid fond farewell to Pittsburgh and went off to Kansas City. But, he wrote a nice statement saying, I can see myself sometime coming back to Pittsburgh. It's wonderful. Because he didn't want to break the ties with his initial NFL city, but I think to myself, there was a time when guys played baseball. They really loved playing for Boston or New York. I mean, they liked playing for the city. They felt almost a responsibility. They don't have that anymore. The fans have it, and the fans like to think that they have it, but they don't.
Yeah, and, yeah, the people that they're rooting for could really give to, you know, whatever about them.
I have one more little thing to pass on. You'll find this interesting, okay, my friend. Another blow to the U.S. food market. Fire breaks out at a food processing plant west of Waupaca County in Wisconsin. A fire ignited inside a food manufacturing facility in the town of Belmont near Portage, Waupaca County, Wisconsin on Monday. Multiple fire departments responded to the festive foods on County Highway D around 9 a.m. Apparently, it was a major fire, and another food processing plant bites the dust. That makes
99 blown up.
But if we keep working at it, if they keep working at it, we will reach 100 before you know it.
Oh, probably, maybe by the end of the week. Insulin supplies now are dropping. So people that need insulin?
Let me ask you an honest-to-goodness question. Like a lot of people are thinking, do you think it's a coincidence that almost 100 food processing plants have been destroyed or damaged in the last 18 months?
Statistically, you know, the odds in that, just like the odds on... I don't know, that fake election, slim to frickin' none. I would not bet on it.
Okay.
You know, out of 100, I wouldn't even think maybe 2 would be it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we got 99, so one more, we got 100.
That's right.
Who's it going
to
be?
We can round it off to 100 if we don't reach 100 by the weekend. I mean, it's so close. I just think that there's so much happening behind the scenes. And I know this makes me sound like a conspiracy theorist, but take a deep breath for a second, relax, and think about what's happened to our country in 18 months. You couldn't do this unless it was planned. You couldn't make this all happen like it's happened to us so quickly if it wasn't designed. Do you think? I don't think there's any coincidence. I don't think it's an accident that all this stuff is happening to our country right now. I mean, if you just look around and see how our country has literally fallen apart in the last 18 months, there has to be a design to it. There has to be a plan.
I would say this. When you see Joe go out and do his little screaming match that he did yesterday saying, "It's corporate greed. More gas, less cost," and all of this stuff he's doing, he caused the gas crunch, the oil supply he shut off. He has caused the problem with the baby formula by shutting down plants and whatnot. You can get it in foreign countries, but not here. Our food chain, everything.
The border?
Is crashing. The border, mm-hmm. He has done it all. Now,
the pullout in Afghanistan, Bill? We can't forget the unbelievable, unprofessional, unnecessary exit from Afghanistan the way he did it.
What I'm saying is he's putting up a front to say, "Oh, I'm doing everything I can. I'm fighting all these fires." And, you know, he's the arsonist. He is the one that set the fires.
Yep.
Why did he set the fires? I think they want us to stay at home. I think they want to totally divide us and put us under that big government thumb.
It's happening. I mean, I went home last week to see my grandson graduate from high school, and it cost me a bundle to go back. And I mean, I've done this trip regularly for 40 years. It's never been so expensive as it was last weekend, okay? I'm thinking, it's now a week later, and it's more expensive now to make the same trip I took a week ago. I mean, the gas has gone up another 5 cents or 8 cents, or, you know, so every gallon is a little more expensive, and that has an effect on the rooms you stay in and the hotels, things like that.
Hey, look,
people can't do it.
Anytime something increases, it has a ripple effect. I mean, it's a rock in the water, and the waves just go on and on and on all the way to the shore where we are, and they get bigger and bigger because the splash is bigger and bigger of what's going on. It's terrible. And by the way, $5.29 a gallon here.
Wow. My wife, who's a very level-headed person, the only mistake she probably made was when she married me.
But, yeah, married somebody in the media.
I think we were drinking. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But I'm in trouble now. But she said to me yesterday, you know, I don't see it stopping at $20 a gallon.
Well, see, I've said that too. And everyone's going, I won't get there. But, you know, I will make an observation. So I'm driving around, and I drive around a gas guzzler, a truck, 5.7-liter engine. My fault. Okay, I get it. But I bought it at a time when gas wasn't that expensive.
$1.89 a gallon
when you bought it. Yeah, not a problem. And, you know, I got a flex engine of the 5.7-liter.
Yeah.
It can actually, the best gas mileage I've gotten is 37 miles, you know, because it's
that's what the engine off rolling downhill.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm pushing it and trying to run behind it.
Good.
It works really, really, really well. But, you know,
tough on your feet.
I see people driving the big gas guzzlers like me, and they go, I got to get around this traffic. Boom! They're driving like crazy. Mm-hmm. People are driving irresponsibly out there. And, you know, I'm bitching about the high prices, but I am not, even though I like to get from A to B as quick as possible. I'm trying to go, wait a minute, you know, I mean, every time I step in a gas, because I can see that little gauge over in the corner that says, yeah, you just dropped from 23 miles a gallon down to 3 miles a gallon. And I can see the gauge go down exponentially.
Now, wait a second. You're conservative and you're responsible. Are you sure you were in radio?
Well, I'm out of radio now, and you know, I got rid of a lot of baggage.
Somebody has to grow up.
People are bitching, but they're living like there's no tomorrow. Hey, let's have a wild time, mm-hmm. And you know, we got to be responsible on a lot of fronts. And where are they getting the money for all of this? You know, because a lot of these people aren't working. They're driving big cars. Expensive cars, and I hate the gas price. It's almost tripled now, but I just fill her up.
But I truly believe that you're going to see in the not too distant future a lot of people with the big cars and the big trucks. They will be sidelined. They won't be able to afford the gas. I mean, people who had in their budget for gas X amount of dollars a month, that's the budget's going to be blown apart by the gas prices. They won't be able to go to work. People will start carpooling, sharing the ride because they can't afford to drive their own truck in or their own car in or their own, you know, van, whatever. We're living in, and he's not talking about solving the problem in an honest way. Because he really isn't acknowledging the fact that he's the problem. He's saying, he said it, when we heard him say, Putin's the problem. He said it in his talk in Philadelphia yesterday. The Putin economy.
Well, the move is not to keep the gas going. The move is to shut it off. But he's not thinking about the big trucks that can't run on electric and everything else. So this whole thing is a scam. It is, it's a sideshow. Step right up, folks. You know, the show is about to begin. And boy, what a show it is.
Oh, boy. We are never at a loss for topics on this program because every day something outrageous happens and we're all set. And you know, between now and tomorrow, we're going to have plenty of things to talk about, my friend.
I just can't wait until we run out of toilet paper again.
Oh, hang on a day or so. It'll happen. Trust me. Hey, friend, have a great day and we'll do it again tomorrow. By the way, folks, you can contact us at It's Another Day, our phone number, 833-583-6060, 833-583-6060.
And also mail at itsanotherday.com. And please, please, please share this with a friend.
Yes.
And, you know, if you got a topic that you would like us to investigate or get in on, although they're all over the news, let us know or just throw in your 2 cents.
By the way, folks, if you have a problem getting the show for some reason, if you see that it's been blocked or banned somewhere, you can always get it at It's Another Day, all one word, itsanotherday.com. Okay, it's always there. And tell your friends, that's the safe spot. We're on a lot of different platforms now, Spotify and Apple.
Yeah, there's over 25 different platforms we're on. And, you know, because we see the downloads for the shows to redistribute
right.
for the streams. So, I mean, we're in a lot of places and we see where these things are going all over the world.
And to our regular listeners, our daily listeners, we truly appreciate you being there, because without you, we're talking to ourselves, you know. And
I do that all the time anyway.
That's true. I do it around my kitchen table at home.
Yeah. Hey. So they're going, so how's breakfast? And then you turn around and you go, that's pretty good. And then you look back.
Hey, buddy, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, when you talk to yourself, you meet a nicer crowd of people that way. You really do.